Do you have a cold open? I don't know if I have. I don't have one.
No,
they're getting harder and harder to do.
Yeah, I'm fresh out of ideas.
No, it's because before we used to be such amateur hour, and we'd always mess up, and then now, stone cold pros.
Yeah, no. These things practically write themselves.
And by pros, I mean they don't rhyme. Hello and welcome to episode 153 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubing in Germany, and with me as always is
Adam, Vancouver.
What's going on, Adam?
It's cold. That's what's going on.
That's what I hear. I hear it's getting not unseasonably, but it doesn't really get cold in Vancouver, does it, normally?
Yeah, tough to say. I don't remember. It's been a while, but it's scrape the windows every morning before work time.
I'm hearing down to -8, which I know people in Winnipeg will laugh at.
Yeah. Yeah, we're babies over here.
That's the late spring high.
Yeah.
Is -8, but it's a different cold, guys. Come on.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. This is really the bone chilling kind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that cold here. You know, the funny thing is that because it's like Vancouver, known for temperate climate.
Yes.
In Canada.
Sure.
So people here, when it gets really cold and they see me walking around in maybe only a sweater or something like everyone else is wearing big jackets or whatever, they always think, oh, well, yeah, the Canadian, he's used to the cold.
Yeah.
It's actually much, much colder here than it is in, okay. This story just derailed. That's happening.
Tell us
a lot.
More, Yukon Jack.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a family of four living in my beard. That's great. Amazon.
Yeah. Hey, you're going to mention it at the top this time.
Yeah. Only because they have flying robots now.
Really? I heard about that. They're going to deliver, like, items 5 pounds or less.
I hope not.
That's crazy.
I hope not. I can't... you know what I don't like in life?
Robots?
Leaf blowers.
Hmm.
Could you imagine, like, 30 or 40 leaf blowers blown over your head every hour delivering stuff?
I don't like the idea of robots taking jobs from people.
Do people fly things right now?
I don't know.
I guess I guess not. That's a good point. We saw Terminator 2. It doesn't end up well.
Right.
So, anyways, still buy stuff on Amazon, though. That's the point. The point is still buy it there.
And click through our site.
Yes. Yes.
Don't just buy it willy-nilly. Like, go to our site first.
You know what people are doing?
What? And,
like, they're telling us about it. Is perhaps they like our show, but their wife doesn't really care.
Right.
Much like our wives. don't really care about our show.
Right.
But they have their wives buy their Amazon things through our site in support.
Well, that is lovely.
That's happening.
I appreciate that.
So, yes, as do I. So, keep up the good work, everybody. New camera strap. That's what I wrote down in my notes.
Okay, you're going to give us an update?
I finally had an opportunity to use it.
Okay.
What a piece of No, that's awesome. No, did it take you some getting used to first time out?
It did, for sure.
Yeah, because I was like, wow, this is not normally where my camera hangs, but I like it. It's 1,000 times better. 1,000 times, that's a lot.
Well, and I'm thinking about it just in terms of just pure comfort. Again, forget functionality, which is also way better, but just the comfort if you're going to have the camera for an extended period of time around your shoulder versus around your neck or your shoulder with a very short strap, which is what it would be if you were using the strap that comes with your camera.
Right. Comfort-wise, it's not really an issue. I'm a pretty tough customer.
Really?
No. Kind of a whiner. But yeah, it was the functionality that I noticed right away. just the where it sits. And once I got over the first, you know, little bit of, because you have to hold the camera slightly different.
Yeah.
At least with mine, you do when you bring it up to your face, because the mounting plate is sort of, you know, that's, I wouldn't say gets in the way, because it's a very minor adjustment and you're off to the races. But I loved it, man. It was awesome.
Well, there you go. There's your endorsement. That was the carry speed strap, right?
Yes.
Carry speed something, F something.
You know how I can tell that I'm getting older?
What's that?
Besides all the obvious things. I stopped remembering names of things. I just don't care.
Right.
So you're right. I could not have picked my carry speed out of a hat, out of a lineup. I didn't know it was called carry speed.
That's the company.
Yeah. No, I know that now that you pointed out.
Okay.
And also someone said, oh yeah, I got the Q-Box light. And I was like, sweet. That might be the one I have.
But again, when I did do the ordering for you, you were never forced to exactly find out the details.
That's true. Both of those, you ordered both of those.
Yeah, so it's a little different.
See who works for who. All right.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, whom? Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I did not. No pictures from me.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, that's not true. I shot a few at Jack playing hockey, and I just posted them on Facebook about 5 minutes ago. So 2 days ago when people are listening to this, or 4 days ago, I don't remember what day it is and when you're going to be posting this. So I did post some pictures of Jack, which I did from on ice. I was on the I go on the ice with Jack's hockey. You wouldn't even call it a team, because it's first year hockey where they mostly just go out and do drills, and it's kind of just practice. Mm-hmm. So there's no games yet, but I went on the ice and I help out, and so took my camera on the ice and took a few ice level shots. So I posted some of those on Facebook. He's one of those kids that, I mean, I don't know how many of them are this excited about hockey, but you're pretty hard pressed to find Jack not smiling on the ice. Like, he is just, he loves it. He loves every minute of it. So snapped a few pictures of him, and it was kind of funny because we'd just been to a Christmas party that morning, and we went straight to hockey. So, you know, at the Christmas party, they had lots of crafts and stuff, but anyways, they had face painting. So he's got a big, you know, candy cane face painted right on his cheek, which, you know, looks pretty funny underneath the hockey helmet. So I made some comment about, you know, there's not too many kids that are tough enough to pull this off.
That would be awesome. If I'm trying to think of somebody who could pull that off in the NHL now. Just have like a butterfly on his face. Yeah. What are you looking at?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. Say something.
I'm pretty sure Gino Ogic doesn't still play, does he?
No, he does not.
Okay, but he could pull it off though.
Oh, Gino could pull off anything.
Absolutely. They look great. I'm just checking them out now. It looks good. Great exposures. We got nice colors, good whites, like the brightness level. This is not typical of how rink photos used to be.
No.
Rink photos, of course, used to be lit, you know, by 260-watt bulbs in the whole rink.
Yeah. This is again, a relatively dark arena. So this is where the 60 and the high ISO sings in this kind of environment, because if I shot these pictures with my T2i, they would just be like, they would be terrible. These are shot at like, I want to say 5,000 or 6,000 ISO or 6,400 right. ISO in order to get a shutter speed that's workable. So again, these are photos are made possible by a good camera
and no flash,
because I'm not taking flash out on the ice, and certainly not popping it in the face of 4 and 5 year olds that they're skating around
with the butterflies on their face.
This is serious. This is serious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so this is what, your 70 to 200?
Nope, that's 85 millimeter.
Nice. Wow, I went with the prime too.
Definitely. I'm on the ice helping, so I didn't really feel like I wanted to be out there with a giant zoom. I figured I did this in the little warm up. They have about, I don't know, 7 or 8 minutes at the beginning where they just all skate around with pucks, kind of fun time. So I did this during fun time, and I figured I'm on the ice, I can just move around. And I didn't know If because the 70-200 that that we both have is a is an F4, and knowing how dark it was in the rink, I figured I was going to need to open up. Otherwise, I was going to end up at an ISO of like 10,000 plus.
Mm-hmm.
So most of them are shot pretty wide open.
Yeah, they look great. This is what I would do if I was the parents on the team or whatever, or the practice or whatever you're calling it, is I would rather have you come out and snap photos than have the photographer snap the ones that you talked about.
I also agree, but I'm not going to I'm not going to lobby that, because I'm pretty sure this is the same photographer that does it year after year for the whole association, and I'm not going to rock the boat just yet.
Oh, do it. His kids don't need to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I am finding this time of year, this holiday time of year, is very busy for photography requests. I am finding lots of work lately.
Really?
Yeah. So mostly family portrait stuff. But I have a wedding upcoming this weekend. I think might have mentioned in the past that I was going to be doing one. So I'm going to be doing a wedding this weekend. And then I got family portraits lined up for this weekend. And I've got a few more on the family portrait waiting list as well. So no, this is a good time of year.
You have a waiting list?
Well, I have people who have all emailed me trying to set dates up.
Wow.
Yeah, but I am limited. I do also have a full-time job, so this is kind of something on the side for me. So,
and plus, I'm glad I get 25% of all those side gigs.
That's it? That's all you get?
Oh, I'm not like a monster, man. Come on.
Yeah. So I think that's all I've got for you on my end. What about what's going on with you?
Plenty. I haven't besides the using the camera strap. We went to a Christmas market.
Okay.
It's Christmas market season here, meaning you know the one in Vancouver, right?
Yeah, it's kind of meant to be a German Christmas market.
Yep. So it's the Weihnachtsmarkt, and have you been to that one?
No, I've never been.
Yeah, if you've never been to a Christmas market, it's kind of fun.
Okay.
If you've been to an actual one in Germany, obviously it's tough to compete because, you know, you have the cobblestone streets, you have, you know, the 500-year-old buildings, you have, you know, all that whole sort of atmosphere. It's tough to compete with the parking lot of the Queenie Theater. They do a pretty good job. I'm not talking down to it. They're doing a good job with what they have, and they have a lot of authentic German stuff, and German vendors fly in from Germany and bring all their stuff. So I definitely would go check it out as a primer for a real Christmas market. So the Christmas markets here are starting up, and there was one in a small village near us. We went to one last week, and that's where I ended up shooting with my strap, but it got dark early, as it does here.
Okay.
So I ended up using a lot of live view just to focus,
right,
which is really not easy when I'm shooting it. You know, I've got the camera right wide open, ISO 1600, f1.4 on my 30mm lens, and that's giving me a shutter speed of like 1/60th, 1/80th, depending.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very difficult when you have, you know, a bunch of 2-year-olds are running around. They don't like to hold focus for you. So a lot of motor drive, a lot of live view with motor drive, you know, 15 pictures to get one in reasonable focus, but it worked out. I ended up taking, this is a situation where I took, I think, 300 photos that afternoon.
Yeah.
And kept 10.
Right.
You know, so, but it was on purpose. It wasn't just, you know, spray and pray. It was burst mode.
Right.
So I shot that. That's about it. Like yourself, been a very busy guy. So I don't like it when life gets in the way of the fun stuff.
Right. Yeah. No, that's tough.
I think they call that being a grown up.
Yeah. I'm not thrilled about it.
Right. So. Photo challenge. Let's get right into that.
Okay.
Because we're going to go do Nicholas Tog in a few minutes.
Is that that's like Christmas time?
Yeah, they do it differently here. Like St. Nick, Nicholas, shows up on December the 6th and fills your boots. If you leave your boots outside, He fills your boots full of chocolate and oranges and stuff.
Sweet.
So that's December 6th. I can't believe it hasn't caught on in North America yet. What with the deluge of Christmas excuses, of things to do.
Yeah.
So
you just stuff your face with oranges and chocolate. Is there any orange chocolate?
Oh, like, I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like the chocolate-covered orange, like they sell it here, and you, like splits into slices and all that?
Oh, yeah, sure. I know what you're talking about. I just haven't done a hard Target search here. They might have it. I don't know.
But they're real oranges you're talking about. Like you get a series of oranges and chocolates.
You know I don't work for the supermarket, right? I don't know how much further we can go on this.
But how'd you throw oranges in? Like that seems like a very random item, like chocolates and oranges.
Well, don't you have mandarin oranges at Christmas?
Not really. I mean, you can get them in the store, but it doesn't say Christmas to me. I wouldn't stuff them into my stocking.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
Oh, that's a staple. I don't think I've ever had a stocking without a mandarin orange in it.
Really?
This is not the Christmas episode. We should be saving this for the Christmas episode, okay, evidently.
I just think that maybe someone didn't like you very much.
I think maybe you're the only person who has not got a mandarin orange. Mandarin orange doesn't say Christmas to you. No. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay, all right. Well, I guess we'll have to take a poll on it.
Yeah, I guarantee that you're the only one on this one.
Okay.
Yeah, wow. Anyways, so yeah, it's like Nicholas Day is today. That's why. It might sound like I'm very, very soft-spoken today.
Okay.
It's because I got up really early and my family's still sleeping. And that's why we're recording this.
Okay, because you're so excited because it's Nicholas Tog?
Yeah. Right. Well, I got to get this out of the way so we can go do Nicholas Day.
Okay.
So all I'm saying is next December 6th, I think he's going to show up at the Schwartz house.
Awesome. I'm going to fill my boots.
Well, yeah, I don't think your kids would mind too much. And I think your wife likes Christmassy stuff. So any excuse
right
for more Christmassy stuff. Because I don't think Elf on a Shelf is really a thing.
It is now.
Yeah, but when you were growing up, was it a thing?
No. It's only, I think, about 3 or 4 years old, Elf on a Shelf.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's just good marketing on their part. So yeah. There's that. This week's photo challenge was to do with last week's photo challenge. That's what it was. My photo challenge last week ties in with this week's photo challenge.
Okay.
I called it analog effects, mm-hmm. which was somewhat non-descriptive
confusing.
To you.
Yeah, confusing.
I don't want to say
me.
Confusing because it sounded like you weren't taking your medication, but confusing. Fine, confusing.
Yeah.
Do you know now what it was about?
Well, I had to ask you 3 times, like, exactly what is the intention of this photo challenge, because I had no idea. Mm-hmm. And then you basically, well, do you want to say what you said to me in the email?
Well, I played it pretty coy, evidently, not on purpose, but basically, I said I took a photo of a photo.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing here. So let's have a look at the photos. Let's start with mine.
Okay.
Just because I'm the guest here. So here's a picture I took of my daughter the other day. And it was just one of the situations where the window light was coming in just wonderfully.
Okay.
And so she was getting ready to leave and I said, "Hey, why doesn't Daddy snap your photo?" And oddly, she allowed me, which is not that normal lately. But she let me do it, and there you go. And now what I did was I printed it out. Like I processed it in Photoshop.
Yeah.
Or in, what's the one we use? Aperture. See, I forget the names of things, man. Aperture, and then basically printed it out and re-photographed it. And here's the result.
Okay, so...
Now, we're going to go over all the details on how to do it in today's topic. So... There you go. What do you think?
I like it.
Yeah. Do you think it needs the old-timey look here?
No, I don't think it does.
Absolutely not. I think you're absolutely right. And this is not an example of a photo I would do this to normally.
No, I don't think so either.
In fact, I scuffed it up even more. And didn't use the final one because it actually looked creepy, believe it or not. So this is a situation of, I think that's a cool effect, doesn't suit this picture. But like we said earlier, I had a busy week, so I had to sort of cut bait at some point.
Okay.
Let's have a look at your photo. This is going to be a fast photo challenge, evidently.
Okay. So we went to the mall today, so this was taken about 3 hours ago to do our Santa photo. We like to go earlier in December to avoid the silly lineups that can happen towards the middle or end of December. So we got there. I picked the kids up right after school, and we went to the mall, and then basically we're able to walk right up and get the picture done, which was nice. So we did a couple of, you have the option, you can just get your photos printed and pick like two or three, or you can just get the disc for the same price and get whatever, however many photos they took. I think in our case, they took about 16. So we got the kids to take a bunch of them by themselves. And then my wife and I hopped in just at the end for two or three. So I put one of the family pictures. I printed it out, did the same thing. So I got home, and this is printed off my home printer, and then I just put it in the tree after I kind of wrinkled it up a bit and then photographed it in the tree with some of the Christmas lights around it. Just kind of, you know, obviously giving it sort of a Christmassy framed look. And that's it.
I'm glad you did this, because this was actually very similar to what I was going to do.
Okay.
But then I zigged and said, I don't know, something funny. Write something funny in there. But I ended up not doing it, and I'm glad you did, because this is kind of what I had in mind, especially at this time of year. And I think you're on the right track. I think you have a good Christmas card this year. A good start to one anyway. You're not done.
Okay, well, I've already made Christmas cards, so this won't be one.
Okay, but for next year then.
Sure, for next year.
For next year, there's something to consider.
Okay.
What I would do to make this better.
Okay.
Is I would print it out and cut a white board, leave a white border around it when I cut it.
Okay.
Because I find it really makes it pop.
I could print this with that option. So you on my printer, I can print with a border like on my home printer.
Oh, so you have this prints actual 4x6s, it just spits out?
Yeah, this is a 4x6.
Oh, see, I don't have, I mean, mine's 4x6 as well, but I don't have, like, mine just prints on full sheet photo paper, and I have to cut it out with scissors.
Oh, no,
I'm old school, man.
No. And I have the option to print it with a border, so I could have. Okay. I just kind of elected not to. But okay. I do see your point. I think I agree. It would give it sort of a nice contrast.
Mm-hmm. So there's that. Did you like this or just shoot it as is?
Just as is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because what I would consider doing is I would start with the border. I would actually move back a little bit, include more of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look really hard, you can figure out with the little lights that you have there that it is a Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a little more context would serve this well and give you some room for some text. So if you were to basically pull back a little bit, have really narrow depth of field, you'd have the tree, and then it would kind of fade off into blur, and that would be a great spot to put, you know, Merry Christmas from the Schwartzes.
Mm-hmm.
With the apostrophe again.
Yeah, Lisa says you'll never let that one go.
No. That's not how you pluralize Schwartz.
Yeah.
But was that 3 years ago now, probably?
Or four, something like that.
Yeah, that is a little bit obsessive on my part.
I'm going to let Lisa know you brought it up.
I'll bring it up every year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, anyways, that's something I would do. Otherwise, other than that, I like what you did here. This is a good use of the effect. So, good job.
Great.
So, let's get into how to do this. I mean,
okay.
Some of it's apparently rather obvious. You know, we kind of gave up the ghost already.
Yeah.
But here's how I end up doing it. This is Instagram before there was Instagram.
Okay.
Like, this is something that I've been doing for a long time. Before, I wouldn't say before, yeah, before I really had the internet even. How about that? That's how long it's been.
You invented it. Are you claiming to invent it?
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't. I seriously doubt that. Otherwise, I think Instagram owes me some money.
You're one of the first guys to copy the guy that invented it.
Yeah, that's what we'll say. I'm in that second tier of the multi-level marketing. No, what ended up happening is some of the work I would do is people would bring me their photos and they'd want them sort of included in some sort of art, like for a DVD cover, for instance.
Right.
And or I would end up taking stills from video I had shot, and they would want that on the cover. But if you know much about digital video, pre-HD, like standard definition video, is not very large in the megapixel department.
Okay.
In fact, it's not even 1 megapixel. The images that we're shooting on SD were like 0.3 megapixels, which is not how you describe it. You'd probably say 300,000 pixels, but that's roughly where it is. So as you can imagine, it's not going to print out very well. So this is kind of what I would do is I would print it out small, photograph it, and mess it up, and then print that out larger in order to achieve the effect I wanted.
I see.
So now, of course, we're shooting HD or shooting, 30 megapixel images.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't really come up. But I kind of like the effect sometimes. And so this is something I still do rather often. It just doesn't show up in, your standard work. This is kind of more of a fun thing to do.
Right.
So this kind of adds that vintage effect, that sort of cool thing. And it's the way you do it here, it's actually kind of hard to duplicate with a filter. I mean, they can get pretty close and it looks the same, but there's a certain depth. You can create a certain depth to the images, to still images, that it's difficult to do with a filter.
Right.
So how do we do this?
Tell us.
Okay, I was hoping you would just take it from here and I would go.
I'm just going to ooh and ah as you sort of, fill us in.
Right. Well, basically, you take your photo, do the processing, print it out. Now, I printed it on photo paper. That's right. Kind of key. I printed out usually a 4x6, and that actually matters because of the nature of the way the paper folds. If you print it out much smaller, like let's say you do a 2x3, really small,
mm-hmm.
the creases are going to be a certain size.
Right.
And they're going to basically be much larger compared to your subject in the picture. So it looks kind of funny. And consequently, if you print it out full 8x10 or 8x11 or whatever, 8.5x11 or whatever you end up doing, 8x12, I suppose, the creases will be much smaller.
Right.
So there has to be a certain look to it. Now, it doesn't have to be 4x6, it can be 4x4, whatever. But that's what I end up doing. Print it out on photo paper. And then now, the simplest way to do this is to go find somewhere with nice, even light. Like by the window.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite place to shoot in general. And essentially what I'll do is I'm going to lay it down on the floor, if I can, and just shoot downwards onto it. Like find a nice background. Like if you want to include some background, find a nice neutral background, maybe a black piece of paper or something like that. And then I just basically shoot down on it.
Okay.
That's it. Now, what I do there is if you can't get window light, you might have to light this with a flash or, continuous light or something like that. And that will affect how your effect, I can't believe I said effect twice in the same sentence, different spellings if it makes you feel better.
Right.
But that will affect how the look of the photo, because you can adjust the light and from what angle it comes at and where the shadows go and that kind of thing. So that's something when you get more advanced at shooting photos.
Right.
You can dial that in.
We all aspire to that.
Yeah, that's the thing is you don't want to. Anyways, so what I end up doing is I shoot with, on a full frame, I'll shoot with my 50 millimeter lens.
Okay.
My 50 mil 1.4. I usually set it to f5.6 just because that gives me, good enough shutter speed at a decent ISO to avoid camera shake, but it also, even though you're shooting a flat image, you still want a little depth of field. Most likely. Okay. Because if you don't, and you have some, you know, really big creases, you'll find that some of your image will go out of focus if you have a narrow depth of field. And that will kind of look funny. I mean, maybe that's the effect you want to go with. Absolutely. And that now you got double bokeh.
Right. And I can see that being distracting.
Could be distracting. Could be fun. Well, I don't know. I'm interested to find out. And I'm next week's challenge might be double bokeh. It's not going to be. Spoiler. Right. I'm not doing that. So I shoot that at f5.6. And what I do for focus is that I basically crank it all the way till it's basically focused as close to the lens as my lens will go.
Right.
And that way, what that allows me to do is get in very, very close to the subject. And right. Basically almost fill, in this case, with a 4x6 and the 50mm lens, almost fill the frame with that photo. Not quite. I leave a little bit of bleed room around the edges. Mm-hmm. So once I focus, now the lens is focused. In order to make the picture come into focus, it's just a matter of moving up and down.
Right.
So that's the part where you do that until you get nice and sharp, and then fire away. Good idea to shoot on burst mode, because it's kind of an unnatural. I mean, if you're actually super pro, and I hadn't even thought of this. And, I mean, I thought of it, but I was in a hurry when I did this. You can get your tripod out and actually just shoot straight down on a tripod.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't do that.
No, I thought about it, but I didn't do it either.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a tripod that does that?
Yep.
Okay. I have one right now that I may or may not buy, used from a guy. But I'm trying it out. I'm test driving it right now. And it does that little move where it extends out the side and you can shoot straight down.
Mm-hmm.
Very handy. For shooting.
I don't use the tripod very much as it is, and I've used it to shoot straight up, but I can't remember ever using it to shoot straight down.
Wow. So you're missing out in life.
Yeah. Really, I'm really not using the full capabilities of the tripod.
Right. That's my issue with the tripod, is I'm not sure if I like it. It's a good tripod. Does it have enough value to me? Because I don't shoot with one often enough.
Yeah, it's a bit of a, you know, an extra thing to carry around.
It would be good for you on the ice, though.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Just skating around with that would become really handy. Anyways, okay, so got the image in focus. The one thing I do try to be careful of is something called keystoning. Any idea?
I don't know. No idea what that is.
Okay, so this is something that you're going to want to know. Like, you know what? You know when you're out shooting tall buildings in a single bound,
mm-hmm.
and the bottom of the building looks very, very wide, and the top of the building looks very, very narrow?
Sure.
Yeah. That's because you're actually closer to the... No, I'm just joking. But that's an issue of perspective.
Okay.
Now, if you don't shoot this straight on, if you shoot it from your photo from a slight angle... What's going to end up happening is the bottom is going to appear narrower than the top of the photo.
Right.
Or vice versa. And now the parallel lines of the photo will no longer be parallel.
Okay. And now, it's funny you say that, because I did take a couple of photos of my photo from different angles, and then I thought, oh yeah, they look funny when they're not perfectly straight. But I hadn't done the... I hadn't done the nerd math in my head to figure out why.
Well, you could use a tilt shift lens to fix that, or you could just, you know, put yourself in a good position.
Right.
Now, the challenge sometimes is when you're doing that is that you end up getting in your own light. So you have to kind of make sure you're not casting a shadow when you're over top. But this is something you want to look at. And at this range, when you're this close to your image, it's just a couple of millimeters either way can cause keystoning in that image.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you have, you know, stark parallel lines like the white frame of the image itself. And so I took a few of mine to make sure that I didn't, you know, get that. So there you go. That's where to start. Now here's what my move is. First of all, is I with one in my challenge photo, I took on a black background, which I ended up cropping out. I didn't pull it out. I cropped it out just so it would seem like an actual photo. Mm-hmm. Which at the bottom you can see there's the doesn't quite look like the frame is a little bit crooked. That's life. Not crying about it, but what I do when I'm going to take this picture is I take it progressively.
Meaning
I print the picture out, get it cut, put it on the floor or the table wherever I'm going to shoot, and I snap it before I even touch it. I snap a photo. I get set up and dial it in.
Yeah,
because you can't go too far. You can scuff it up too much. Okay. And so sometimes it's hard to know exactly what you want or exactly how far to go. So basically I do it in stages. So I'll take one pristine and then I'll just kind of scuff it up a little bit. Maybe fold it, bend it, just to add a little bit of a warp to the image. Photograph that and then scuff it up a bit more. And so probably end up taking 6 different photos of the same photo in different stages.
Right.
Something I do like to do, and this looks really good. In certain situations, is I'll go ahead and rip the photo, rip a corner off, maybe rip around the edge. Maybe if it's a breakup, rip right down the middle. You know, get that out of there. But the rips tend to look really good if you do them correctly. So that's something you can do. And then and what I end up doing is, you could then pull the background out completely and you can now lay this image over top of anything. So this is what I did last week. No rips, but this is what I did last week in terms of the background, which seemed to fool you. Not, I don't know if it fooled you or not, but your mind went to that I crinkled the background in the actual image.
Mm-hmm.
Versus doing it. So it's not that difficult to do.
Yeah. And it's funny because I actually saw you must have emailed the original photo to Don and myself earlier, because I actually saw one with the no crinkle, and so yes. I actually knew that it was crinkled, but I was just playing along for that's just how good an actor I am.
That's not even just good acting, that's just very very
good
giving.
That's just good podcasting.
That really is good. I didn't even know.
Yeah.
That is
yeah.
good podcasting.
Yeah,
good job. You definitely win the good podcaster award this week. Nah, I'm not joking. That's tough to do. That's tough to play the role of not knowing, because you want to scream out, "Hey, I know everybody. I know." Okay.
Yeah.
Who do you think I am? Calm it down.
That's right.
No, that's all right. Moving on. I'll bring that up every year now instead of that apostrophe thing.
Okay, great.
That's it. Rip the edges, neutral background. These are all my notes.
Okay.
And as I mentioned earlier, this is a great way to blow up small photos, because have you ever had to do that? You ever had to blow up, like someone gives you a small, like maybe something like a 640 by 480 image and says, "Oh, here, can you use this?" And you can't. Like, you try to blow it up in Photoshop by making it larger and it just pixelates and looks terrible.
Right. Yep. I know exactly what you mean.
Now, they used to make, or probably still make, a program called Fractals, which would basically do that and just do a better job of blowing it up. Like, it would sort of take those in-between pixels and build better pixels out of them or something like that. There's some magic going on.
Okay.
I never had cause to use Fractals. It was never came up in my daily life. But apparently you could do decent blow-ups of small images. But it's not as good as high-res images. But if you ever get a situation... Now, I've had situations where I had to put a very small image into an HD video. And I've done this method. Not really scuffed it up, but just photographed it. Printed it out, photographed it, you know, with a high-res camera, and plugged it in. And warning, it's not going to look like a high-res image.
Right.
But it does a better job of blowing it up than Photoshop does. So there's that.
Good to know.
So that's something you can do. And so now, if you're going to end up blowing this up, maybe get a picture framed or something like that. You can use this method, and by scuffing it up, it also kind of hides the fact that it's a blow up.
Right.
So that's something to do. And you can kind of mess with the sharpening tools a little bit. You don't get a lot of mileage out of them. You have to really feather that in, but you can end up getting pretty good results. And there you go. Or just look like the old vintage stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which what I like about this is that you can basically control the lighting situation. You can bring in, you know, different colored lights or change the lighting angle. If you have some seriously, you know, some serious ridges in your photo, now all of a sudden those shadows will come into play.
Right.
So if you have a hard light, a hard flash zoomed in 85 mils across the room, throwing across your image, you're going to get some seriously hard shadows. Throw a gel on that. Now we're cooking with gas at this point. So a lot of options for you. It's going to be a big week for you, Adam, I can tell. You're really going to explore the space on this one.
Yeah.
Well, next year's Christmas card.
Great. No, I'm looking forward to it. Absolutely. I think that you have something there.
All right. Now we'll just have to get that Instagram lawsuit going and see where we go. It'd be like The Social Network part two. You think you can get Fincher involved? Probably.
Yeah, I think so.
I think he's looking for a new project.
Yeah.
So there you go. Next week's challenge.
Let's hear it.
Well, next week's show is going to be about gift ideas.
Okay.
That doesn't come too late before Christmas, right?
No, we're still good.
It's good. So I get a lot of gift suggestions for photographers and whatnot. So the challenge should somehow reflect that. So I just wrote gifts with a big question mark because I couldn't think of anything that you're going to like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How about something I won't like?
Gifts. I don't think you're going to like gifts.
That's the challenge. Gifts.
Right. No, I wrote a question mark next. I just said I wrote a question mark next to it because I said if I said the challenge was gifts, you're just going to go.
No, I didn't do that. I'm just looking for confirmation. Is it gifts?
I don't know yet. This is where you come in.
Okay, it's gifts.
Are we Abbott and Costello here?
No.
You know who's on first, right?
I do.
The movie I'm working on, it's a German director, a German crew, and it's an American movie.
Yeah.
Well, it's a German movie about an American subject, which right. I think I'll talk about the subject next week. So we're all on pins and needles there.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually very interesting, blah, blah, blah. But the good part was is like I'm editing stuff that I haven't shot. Which is a change, but going through it and watching this high priced lawyer, this high powered lawyer from Washington, starts talking about Abbott and Costello's Who's on First.
Okay.
And of course, the German director and the German crew have no clue what he's talking about. And this is on camera, but it's sort of off. It's not during the interview. It's sort of in between moments.
Right.
So he starts doing. Who's on First for these German guys.
Okay.
Except they don't know what baseball is.
Right.
So they don't get the joke at all. And this guy is messing it up tremendously. Like he's not even coming close. He's got different names. Like he's not even using, I think he uses Who's on First and then, yeah, Bill's on second, but Bill's his name.
Oh, no.
And you know, and Jeff, he struck out. And I'm like, why, man, you can hear in the background the Germans pretending to laugh. It was awesome. This should be the documentary.
Right.
This will be in the outtakes. I'll try to put this in the outtakes.
Okay.
Which you don't normally see in documentaries.
True.
Not a lot of blooper reels.
Yeah.
But this one will have one. So there you go. So gift. So what to do with gifts? Just gifts in general? And you want to run with it yourself?
Sure.
Yeah. Said the guy who wants to hang up. Yeah. Gifts it is.
Gifts. Okay.
Next week's challenge, gifts or gift.
Can't be any more obscure than analog effect.
And yet, it kind of worked out for you.
Yeah.
Because I like your photo-ish.
Great.
Yeah. It's going to look good. When you perfect this by next year, and you're going to work on it every week until next year.
Yeah.
The next 52 challenges are going to be analog effect.
Yeah. Some variation on it.
No, no, no variation.
All Christmas trees.
Okay, Amazon. Remember to buy your Christmas tree on Amazon or something.
Right.
Don't buy a Christmas tree on Amazon. Buy it from the Boy Scouts or something.
My wife asked me yesterday which coffee lens replica I should get, like she should order for me.
Ooh.
And you know what I said?
All of them.
Yeah, no, I said, as long as you click through our site, it's okay by me.
You're getting a Nikon.
Yeah. No, I think I said the 70 to 200 only because I know that I could probably put a lot of coffee in that lens.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And you like coffee.
Yes.
That's the best of both worlds right there.
Yeah, so.
There's a lot of stuff like that. And hey, we're going to go over them next week. So I think you just gave away your gift idea for next week's show.
No, that's not my idea. That's just what I want.
Right, but now you're going to have to come up with some other ideas now.
Oh, I'm going to have a million ideas.
A million?
Yeah, I'm full of ideas, especially when it comes to photography stuff to buy. You know, I'm a fountain of information when it comes to stuff I want to buy.
Okay, and you know, and you remember the names of them.
Yeah.
No, unlike myself.
That's the strong suit for me.
Unlike Grandpa Alan, it's just, yeah, that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just to defend myself further, it's not that I'm old, it's just I don't give a care anymore.
Right.
I stop caring about the names of stuff.
Yeah.
So, what's the latest Canon camera called?
The consumer one, like there's a new-ish SL1 or something. I saw the I see it in the flyers. I don't know how new it is, but it's the new kind of, I guess, rebel one.
I was just joking. I was just testing to see if you knew the name. I didn't.
I might be wrong on the name. Someone else who's probably more geeked up on this stuff could probably correct me if I'm wrong. But yeah, there's. Well, and there's the new, what is it, 70?
I don't know.
Yeah, they made an update to the, no, it's, was it called 70? No, there was already a 70. 70D?
70D. Yeah. I don't know how new that is. Okay, we've gone on long enough here.
Newish.
I'm probably going to hang up on you at this point.
Okay.
It's rare that I get to do that.
Talk about where we can find stuff.
Where can you find your photos?
Facebook. I just put some up there.
And don't even say your blog anymore.
And almost never on my wife's blog. What?
Come on.
So, yeah, I'm not even going to say it this week because she hasn't posted anything in like a month. So.
At least a month. We all know teachers work like 15 hours a week or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I expect her to put something up on the Christmas holidays. So, you know, check out SchwartzChronicles.com in a couple of weeks.
Expect her to put something. Yeah, put it this way. If she doesn't, you're fired from the show.
Okay.
So a little bit of pressure.
All right.
Dude, you got to post something.
Yeah.
Christmas tree.
I'm a teller.
I've enjoyed reading your Christmas tree posts in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because I took the photos.
Right.
Because I was usually there for it. This year I wasn't there for your Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Because I was busy in July. But I gotta tell you, I really like which is kind of a weird thing because normally it's a family only, not like it's family only, but who shows up at someone else's house for Christmas tree decorating?
You do.
Yeah, but usually because you guys will do it in the morning or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm usually, it happens around the time that I'm there, and I gotta tell you, the excitement on your kids' faces is kind of addictive.
Yeah, they're all excitement all the time.
About everything.
So oh, yeah.
That's awesome. I really do appreciate that. So you can find my stuff at alanetridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com. I'm getting a signal from the producer to wrap it up.
Okay, great. It's fill your boots time.
It is fill my boots time. So check us out at twohosers.com. That's it.
Great.
You find all you want to know. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.